You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the man of the hour, the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm the sensation of the nation, and this is podcasting's number one creation. I am, of course, the godfather, Nate Milton, joined by no one at this time, flying solo, one lonely king of sport, IB, all by myself, got nobody. Marcus Vandenberg, as you all know, is on assignment in Las Vegas. He was covering not only Summer League basketball, but UFC 189, the Mendez-McGregor fight. So hopefully we'll catch up with Marcus later on in the program. But for now, it's just me and you, just the Godfather and the listeners, Kings of Sport Nation. So we're going to have a good time regardless of whether Marcus shows up or not. But I got to be real with you guys. You know, this is Keeping It Real Radio. We like to keep it 100 around here. And one of my favorite plays ever is Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. And there's a famous line in Julius Caesar where somebody's trying to warn Caesar, you know, that the people are out to get him. They're like, hey, Caesar, beware the Ides of March. And so I think I can speak for all real sports fan in attendance when I say, hey, sports fans out there, beware the Ides of July, because there's not a whole heck of a lot going on right now. The NBA has concluded. Granted, there were a couple late free agency moves this past week, but again, keeping it real, I'm not particularly enthused with the Josh Smith to the LA Clippers signing. Sure, it's a good signing, but at the end of the day, what does it really mean? And so there's not a whole lot going on until football starts up, college football, and of course the National Football League kicking off later on this summer. So right now we're in this dull period, we're in this dead spot. You know, baseball is at the halfway point, the NBA is done, we're waiting for football. Nobody's really interested in soccer, despite what some of those soccer zealots out there might tell you. Nobody is really interested in what's going on out there on the pitch. So right now, it's a funny time. And so I think this show is going to be an interesting one. There's not a whole lot of topical stuff we can talk about, but there's definitely a lot of things that we want to get into, that I want to get into. Chief amongst them being all the fallout from the ESPYs that just took place. I also want to get into somebody at ESPN that you could say was my nemesis. You could say the bane of my radio listening existence. That you could say was part of the origin story of why the Kings of Sport started in the first place. We'll talk about that in segment four, as well as a great proposition that someone has, or a proposal that someone has come up with, in a way to kind of satiate both the NAACP, as well as, you know, those that are out there repping for Confederate heritage and history. And it takes place in my home state, my birth state of Georgia. So we'll get into that a little bit later on the show. But I think where I want to start off with is, you know, let's go back to the NBA. Because I do think while there were no monumental moves, while there were no earth-shattering moves such as LaMarcus Aldridge going to the Spurs or DeAndre Jordan doing the flip-flop and heading back to the Clippers, there were a couple of interesting moves this week. I talked about Josh Smith turning down the offer from the Houston Rockets to head out to L.A. and join an interesting Clippers team. We also saw Amari Stoudemire head to the Miami Heat in a backup role. And finally, one of the most mercurial players in the history of the NBA, and a guy that you could say, I guess he's unfairly gotten the rap of being a coach killer, and that's Deron Williams, who was moved to the Dallas Mavericks in the wake of not getting DeAndre Jordan. Mark Cuban was like, I got all this money and nobody to spend it on, so let's go and see if we can pick up Deron Williams. So he got Deron Williams from the Brooklyn Nets, and I think this is going to be an interesting move for the Mavericks because they're a team that I don't know how far they can go, especially in a very tough West where you've got the Clippers who are reloading, where you've got the Spurs who just keep getting better, where you've got the defending champion Golden State Warriors, not to mention you still got a very viable Houston Rockets team, and you got some up-and-coming squads like Memphis and like the New Orleans Hornets, or the New Orleans Pelicans now. So the move for Dallas is interesting to me because I don't think that even with the signing of Williams, even with the signing of Wesley Matthews, I don't think that Dallas is, at this point, one of the top eight teams in the Western Conference. I think that the DeAndre Jordan signing was a big blow to the Mavericks, you know, not being able to get DJ in the fold. It hurts them, not only because they're missing out on DJ's production, but because they moved Tyson Chandler in part because they thought they were going to have a legitimate shot at signing DeAndre Jordan. So when DeAndre Jordan decides not to sign up and you're left with a team where you've got Dirk Nowitzki, Wesley Matthews, Chandler Parsons, and Deron Williams as your core, that's not enough to get it done in the West. They signed Zaza Pachulia, who, as a Hawks fan, you know, I got respect for the big man, but he's not going to bring to this team what DeAndre Jordan would have or even what Tyson Chandler did. So I think this is going to be a very interesting year for the Mavericks. You know, Mark Cuban, there was talk that he wanted to tank the season if they were unable to acquire DeAndre Jordan. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But if you're Dirk Nowitzki, you got to be sitting there, man, just looking real skeptical right now because you are in the waning years of your career, the twilight of your career, if you will, and Dallas has really not done anything to set themselves apart in a really packed West. I mean, it'd be different if Dallas played in the East, and you got a situation where Cleveland's the clear-cut favorite, but after that, it's anybody's game, you know, whether it's Miami or whether it's the Hawks or whether it's even a team like the Pacers or the Wizards. Dallas could be competitive in the Eastern Conference. But in the West, man, it's just too tough. And I don't see Rick Carlisle being able to coach this team to anything better than a decent record and maybe the 10th spot in the West. And that didn't get you anything, you know? So this is going to be an interesting year for the folks out in Dallas. Now, for the Clippers, on the other hand, man, this is an interesting move for the Clippers, bringing in a guy like Josh Smith to a team where you've already got Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, the mercurial one, Lance Stephenson. It's going to be an interesting locker room, and it will be a real test of the ability of Doc Rivers, the coach. And that's one thing Marcus and I always talk about on the Kings of Sport. Will Doc Rivers, the coach, be able to coexist with Doc Rivers, the GM and team president? And for the longest time, the answer, in my opinion, was no, because those roles serve different capacities. You know, the president's job is to look to the future. The GM's job is to look, you know, a year or so ahead. The coach's job is to win now. And I think that Doc, the GM, has been doing Doc the coach a disservice. But this is going to be an interesting squad. I think that as currently constructed, this roster has the talent to be, I'd say, maybe the third or fourth seed in the West, and we'll see if Chris Paul is finally able to get out of the second round. But it's going to be an interesting thing. I still think the West is the Spurs conference to lose if everybody stays healthy, just like I think the East is the Cavaliers conference to lose. And so I'm really amped for the NBA season next year, which is a testament to Adam Silver and just the popularity of the NBA. Whereas football, I think football is maybe my favorite sport to watch on TV, and it's by far America's favorite sport. the NFL offseason is nowhere near as interesting as the NBA offseason. And so I think you got to give props to the NBA for, you know, trying to become a year-round sport, if you will. So hopefully if Marcus shows up, we can get some insider input from the NBA Summer League out there in Vegas. But if not, we're still going to make it do what it do. I think what we're going to do right now is take a break, and I'm going to refill my water cup because, as frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie on Mr. Throwback Thursday like to say every so often, you have got to stay hydrated. But like I said, man, it's going to be one of those shows. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be off the chain, off the wall, off the hook, if you will. Shout out to Taz. But I have no idea what is going to go down for the remainder of this show. You know, I've got some topics planned to talk about, some things to discuss. We'll see if Marcus hops on the line here a little bit later. We're just going to have some fun today, man. Like I said, these are the dog days of the sporting summer. We're not going to talk about soccer, I can tell you that much. I will be damned if we talk about some soccer for an extended period here on the Kings of Sport. But we have got a lot of good stuff planned. So if Marcus shows up, maybe we'll do some I Got Five on it, or talk about the UFC card. If not, you got me for the next hour or so. And whatever we do, it's going to be fun. Like Sting says, the only thing that's for sure about Sting is nothing's for sure. The only thing that is for sure about the Kings of Sport is that we're going to give you what you want and give you what you need. So stick and stay. Because we got more Kings of Sport right after this.
Greetings, welcome to the meeting of the minds. They be thinking all the time about defeating all the blind. Following, swallowing, drinking of the time on the traditions of keeping in a line.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That one is hot fire.
Every single channel watch televised revolutionaries on the chapel top shouting. Down in Babylonian accounting. Medieval mathematics, he was averaging a bounty. But I surpassed that. I dropped out of a math class. I am, cause I thought now my type looks like a cycle.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Grant Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport. TheKingsOfSport.com.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Kings of Sport, powered by PlaceToBeNation.com. PlaceToBeNation is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, information, and podcasts when it comes to the world of sports, music, pop culture, pro wrestling, anything that you're interested in out there. If you want an interesting take on it, PlaceToBeNation certainly has that. So you guys are down with the Kings. PlaceToBeNation, of course, is down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. We are back for segment two here on the Kings of Sport podcast. The Godfather Nate Milton here with you, holding things down on the solo tip this week. Marcus will not be joining us. I don't know if you guys follow Marcus on Twitter or Instagram, but you may have seen a large portion of Las Vegas smoked meats and porks and barbecue and all sorts of good stuff that Marcus posted. And unfortunately, he has succumbed to a medical condition that afflicts the African-American community, commonly known as the itis. So Marcus will not be joining us this week, but he will be back with us on the show next week. But that's all right, because we still going to have a good time. And I think what we're going to talk about right now is the ESPYs. You know, we mentioned Place to Be Nation, and that's a great place to kind of get all of your sports and pop culture information. Well, this past week, we saw one of the more interesting and unique convergences of sports and pop culture in the world today, and that is the ESPYs, ESPN's award show that they do annually. And this year there were some big takeaways from the show. Of course, there were your traditional heartstring pulling, very, I would say sad, but I guess the overriding emotion is triumphant, you know, triumph in the face of terrible circumstance. And of course, you know, they had a couple instances of that with Lauryn Hill, the basketball player that passed away. And of course, Devin Still accepting an ESPY award for his daughter, Leah, who is battling cancer. And, you know, it's hard to watch those two pieces. It's hard to read the stories and not feel some type of emotion and some type of empathy. But when you take stories that already resonate at a human level and you add on the ESPN production and all of the pathos-inducing storytelling elements that the worldwide leader in sports can bring to the table, you know, it's hard not to just feel at once heartbroken and also uplifted by these stories of these folks. So that was one of the major takeaways from this year's ESPYs. Another big talking point that came out of the ESPY Awards were the comments of one Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Yes, everyone's favorite female cage fighter is back in the news, as she had some very interesting comments to say on the red carpet after receiving the ESPY Award for the Best Fighter. Rousey had some pretty pointed comments directed at one Floyd Money Mayweather. Now, if you forgot about the comments that Floyd made early on in the year when asked about the prospect of facing Ronda Rousey in the ring or in the cage, if you will, Floyd was like, you know, I don't even know who that is. And so Ronda was asked, you know, how do you feel about receiving this award? And Ronda, as we all know, Ronda is not scared and she's a little bit crazy. So she took this opportunity to take some shots at Floyd Money Mayweather, saying, I wonder how Floyd feels being beat by a woman for once. I'd like to see him pretend to not know who I am now. Hashtag shots fired. So I don't know about you guys. When I first heard this, it was great. It was great and terrible and classless and so appropriate all at once. You know, I think that if she had said this about any other athlete, I might have taken offense to it. I still don't think it's good form to, you know, throw shade at others, especially when your backyard isn't the cleanest. But hey, Floyd has brought this on himself. You know, Marcus and I talk all the time about how Floyd is one of the best fighters we've ever seen, at once being one of the worst human beings that we've ever seen. You know, he's got a track record. He's got a history. It's all been well documented. And you know, Floyd Mayweather, for all of his brilliance in the ring and his ability to make money, he's not a good dude. So I didn't have a problem with Ronda taking that shot, even though I did kind of had a problem with Ronda taking that shot. And I just thought, man, she is one of the few stars that the UFC has now, you know, along with Conor McGregor, who I'm sure Marcus will be talking about next week when he joins the show after watching him up close, live, and in person at UFC 189. You know, with Bones Jones being out of the picture, you know, Anderson Silva and GSP not really, you know, doing a lot these days. Who are your stars if you're Dana White? It's Ronda Rousey, it's Conor McGregor, and it's maybe Chris Weidman. And, you know, obviously we like Chris Weidman on this show, but I don't know if he's ascended to that UFC star level yet. So, you know, Ronda, keep getting them checks, keep shooting your mouth off, and as long as you can back it up with that arm bar, I look forward to many more headline-making statements like this, you know. And I guess it's time to get to the main event, the big controversy from the ESPYs Awards. This was something that Marcus and I talked about when the award was first announced. Of course, I'm speaking of Caitlyn Jenner, the former Bruce Jenner, receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for coming out and you know, admitting that she, or declaring that she wants to be a woman. She wants to live her life as a woman and being maybe the most visible and recognizable transgendered person on the planet. And we felt, but at the time, Marcus and I felt it was a little bit of a publicity stunt. It felt a little bit too orchestrated, a little bit too calculated. There were certainly others, maybe, if not more deserving, at least equally as deserving. Lauryn Hill, chief among them. But, you know, we really didn't have that big of a problem with it. But if you went on Twitter, if you went on Facebook, if you listened to talk radio the day before and the day after the ESPYs, you would have thought Caitlyn Jenner killed somebody. Now, granted, there's this whole car accident thing, so maybe that was a bad choice of words on my part, but hey, that's what happens when I don't have my filter, a.k.a. Marcus Vandenberg here to kind of steer me in the right direction sometimes. But, man, you would have thought that Caitlyn Jenner was a terrorist or something because the outpouring of vitriol that came out after this. And there were some valid criticism out there. Like I think D.L. Hughley made the point that he is so confused and baffled by how some of the people in the media and some of the same people in the media can at once uphold Caitlyn Jenner as this beautiful woman, but also on the other hand, decry Serena Williams as somehow masculine or manly or you know, accuse her of not being attractive, which is just ridiculous. You know, and so I feel DL on that point because I think there's been a lot of people, man, that have been throwing shade at Serena. And, you know, people say Ronda Rousey is maybe the most dominant female athlete out there right now. I highly disagree because I would put Serena Williams in that category. Not only has she been dominant in her sport longer, but she has done it against far tougher competition than Ronda Rousey has faced in the octagon. So, you know, I did take offense when people kind of take shots at Serena unnecessarily or saying, you know, even somebody like Jason Whitlock, who should know better, saying, you know, oh, she plays with the animalistic fervor and the grunts. And then while I admire her backside, she is a little rough. And it's like, come on, man. Really, Whitlock? But that's, again, neither here nor there. Getting back to Caitlyn Jenner, you know, you had a lot of people out there who just felt outraged about this. And a lot of people who probably have forgotten about Arthur Ashe if they knew about him in the first place or don't even care about Arthur Ashe, just trying to uphold the quote-unquote sanctity of the Arthur Ashe Award, which is a great award named after and given in honor of one of the greatest sportsmen that has ever lived, you know, and to say that Arthur Ashe would not approve of this, then you don't know Arthur Ashe. You didn't know Arthur Ashe. You didn't read up on the history of this man who, by all accounts, was one of the most gracious and loving athletes out there. And so, you know, while I'm not like 100% all in on hashtag Team Caitlyn or anything like that. I do applaud Caitlyn, the former Bruce Jenner, for being true to herself, because that to me is courageous. And I know that was one of the sticking points that a lot of people had with the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. They're like, this isn't really courageous. You know, going to war and getting your leg blown off, that's courageous. Or running into a burning building, saving somebody, that's courageous. And yes, those things are courageous, but there are many examples of being courageous. You know, going to war, serving your country, very courageous, very admirable. Being a police officer, a firefighter, very courageous, very admirable. Sometimes with the police, but that's neither here nor there. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. But there's all sorts of levels of being courageous. You know, a gay or lesbian boy or girl or a young man or young woman coming out, that's courageous. Somebody that feels depressed or suicidal deciding not to take that drink or not to take those pills, or deciding not to pick up that gun and say, hey, I'm gonna go out and go to work today, that's courageous. So there's all sorts of courage, there's all sorts of bravery when it comes to our everyday life. And yes, I do think that what Caitlyn Jenner did was courageous, not from the standpoint of, you know, and Caitlyn said it in her speech, her acceptance speech, you know, if you want to make jokes, if you want to make fun, I can take it. And so I don't think it's courageous from the standpoint of the ridicule that Caitlyn Jenner would take from this and has been taken for this, because let's face it, it wasn't like Bruce Jenner's reputation was that stellar to begin with, being a Kardashian for all these years. Like that, that to me, being transgender is certainly a step up from being a Kardashian, if you want to make equivocal judgments about people's actions. So I would say that the courageous part of Caitlyn's stance was being an example, is putting yourself out there as a, maybe not a role model, I guess a role model, but also as a standard bearer for folks that are just trying to figure out how to live their lives as authentically as possible. And I think that's something we should all do. Black, white, yellow, red, straight, gay, short, fat, skinny, tall, whatever your truth is in life, as long as you are not hurting anybody else, I believe that, you know, you owe it to yourself to follow that truth. And, you know, I really dug the fact that Caitlyn was like, you know, too often the T in LGBT is silent, and hopefully that she can raise awareness through this award and through the reality show I Am Kate that's coming on E, I think. So, yeah, while I am not, like I said, I'm not running around carrying the rallying flag for Caitlyn Jenner or out here caping up for Caitlyn Jenner, I do think that the furor, that the controversy about the award is just silly. I think, and here's the other thing, I don't think everybody that was against Caitlyn Jenner receiving this award is hateful or a bigot or narrow-minded or homophobic or anything like that. I think there's a section of people that were and that were using, you know, the Arthur Ashe Award and the prestige of the award as cover for some of their bigoted ideas. But I do think a lot of people are just confused and unsure. And it's funny that I think sometimes maybe the people outside the LGBT community are just as confused as some of these people that are making these life choices within the LGBT community in terms of, you know, stepping out and saying, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to live my life. And we're at this point now where I think we're as progressive as we've ever been as a nation, but things also take time. And I think that, you know, the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, that was a big step. I think that, you know, what Caitlyn Jenner is doing, that's a big step, but it doesn't happen overnight. And so I think that while I don't agree with a lot of the hate that was thrown towards Caitlyn Jenner, I also don't agree that everybody that disagreed with her receiving the award is automatically a bigot, because I think that's just silly on the other end as well. So at the end of the day, the ESPYs were what they were, and I think this whole Caitlyn Jenner thing was just a tempest in an LGBT pot, if you will. I wish I had a handheld mic, because I would have just dropped it right there. Like, real talk. Oh, you know, as much as I miss Marcus, sometimes it's freeing not to have my light-skinned sidekick, because it allows me free reign to make bad jokes like that one. So that's going to do it here for segment two. If you watched the ESPYs, I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was okay. I thought Joe McHale did a good job hosting, but some of the jokes fell flat because he was in a room full of people who aren't usually the best at poking fun at themselves. If you're interested in watching the ESPYs, I'm sure they'll run them 50 million more times over the next week or so. But if you're not interested in the ESPYs, I can't blame you, because I really was not interested myself. But as we mentioned in the A block, it's July, it's a slow sports week, so the ESPYs are a big story, I guess, maybe. That's going to do it for segment two. Coming up next, though, segment four, the segment you guys wait for each and every week. And boy, have we got some interesting stories. Not so much ratchet stories this week, but two very interesting stories. One featuring maybe my favorite rap group of all time, and the second featuring maybe my least favorite radio host of all time. How's that for a tease? So stick and stay, because we've got more Kings of Sport right after this.
Face, brought a new pace. Embrace grace, cut the chase. Know our place in a world of anger with piles of waste. We're some do-gooders with the filtration. We're Mexican, Islander, Euro, African, Asian. Celebrate creator before creation. Division, we're erasing.
Patiently taking all day, waiting for the confrontations. The season, the nations to do as we've done. Replacement killers love a good fight. A good night kiss takes the queen, but protects the king's life. While worldwide peace is just a figment. And now is where we're living. We can hold on to the vision. Do our ancestors right for our decision. Thanksgiving to the most for the host of believers in this ghetto child's achievements through all. All the bereavements
we are. Ho is here.
I even
wrote the song.
And all of
the time we share.
And
if we can't say love,
justice
will prevail.
And even
love will overcome.
And all of the
evil will fail. And if
we
can't say
life
is wrong.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, you know we got to give a shout out to the good people over at High Voltage Radio. The Kings of Sport, of course, is a member of the High Voltage Radio family. And let me tell you, folks, if you are into podcasts, obviously you are because you're listening to this fine program right here. But if you're into podcasts, High Voltage has got one of the craziest selections of programs out there for you. I'm talking about shows like Bayside High and Drunk, shows like Axology, shows like the Ebony and Ivory Cast, shows like Mad Mock, shows like Podcast Unknown, the Pittsburgh Nerd Show, Mustache Cash Dash, and of course, frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie, holding it down on Mr. Throwback Thursday. So if you want to check out some of these great shows and some of the other offerings that the High Voltage Network has, go to highvoltageradio.com. Again, that is highvoltageradio.com. And tell them the King sent you. Well, it is that time again, folks. Segment four, our most popular segment of the week. If you're new to the program, segment four is our weekly repository of ratchetness, where we take a look at some interesting, funny, weird, quirky stories in the world of sports and pop culture. And Marcus and I will chop it up, give our take on it, and serve it to you hot. And this week, again, it's just me solo. But I've got a couple great stories for you. The first story is maybe my favorite news story of the week, and it comes in the wake of all of this stuff going on in South Carolina in regards to the Confederate battle flag being flown. And there's a lot of commotion in the wake of that, where you've got various civil rights groups around the country, especially in the South and the Southeast, that are saying, hey, there's a lot more racist stuff out here besides the Confederate flag. Maybe we need to address these things as well. And some of the things are like names of high schools and Confederate monuments and things of that nature. And full disclosure, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. I've lived most of my life in Virginia, so I do love me some South, but I am not naive enough to not realize that there are some inherent issues that come up when you talk about the issue of the Civil War and some of the remnants of that and Reconstruction and all that. And so recently, there's I don't know how familiar you guys are with the state of Georgia, but there's a monument in Georgia, in Stone Mountain Park in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And Stone Mountain is basically a big quartz rock, like a side of a mountain. And in the mountain, you got this carving of three Confederate generals. You got Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy. And so, obviously, seeing something like that is not going to endear this monument to people that do not associate with that type of lifestyle, that type of heritage, that type of imagery. And so the NAACP in Atlanta has been calling for a removal of the monument, which, first off, you know, we're all family here. NAACP, I know you listen, even after the whole Rachel Dozell scandal. Y'all can come to the Kings of Sport because we family, and we'll tell it to you straight. NAACP, it's not going to happen. Like, seriously, like the, just from a fiscal cost perspective, the cost to remove those Confederate images from Stone Mountain, it just would not be worth it. It's a silly pursuit, and I don't think it's ever going to happen. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I could say I want to go to the moon one day, but chances are I'm not going to the moon. But I could go to the moon theoretically. So theoretically, all things are possible. They could sandblast this thing off the side of Stone Mountain, but it's not going to happen. So what's the next best thing? If we cannot take away from Stone Mountain, maybe we can add something. And that is what one artist from New York has proposed. And I'm giving you the story from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And they talk about some of the things going on with the fight for removing these images from Stone Mountain. And so they say, how about instead of getting rid of these images, why not follow a proposal from a Brooklyn artist and add some figures? Some figures that resonate with the state of Georgia. Some figures that resonate with the city of Atlanta. How about two dope boys in a Cadillac on the side of Stone Mountain? Artist Mac Williams is addressing Georgia's State House and Governor, and he has addressed the Senate and Governor Nathan Deal. And the goal is to have Outkast, Big Boi, and Andre 3000, Atlanta's most beloved hip-hop duo, carved alongside Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. By no means do we wish to erase or destroy the current carving, which, regardless of its context, is an impressive and historic work of art, says Williams, who started this petition on MoveOn.com. We simply wish to add new carvings of Atlanta hip-hop duo Outkast to the mountainside. There's plenty of room. I believe that Daddy Fat Sacks and Three Stacks should be carved riding a Cadillac, as is their wont. This will help the new carving blend nicely with the Confederate legends who are on horseback. Just before noon Wednesday, the petition had 60 signatures. By 5 o'clock Wednesday, that number had climbed to 600 signatures. And, you know, it seems to be picking up steam. I'm going to go and check out the petition right now as we speak and see what the number is currently. Over 11,000. And it's, you got people from Atlanta, people from California, Connecticut, just signing this thing. Obviously, it's not going to happen, But it's a really cool idea. I think this is maybe one of the greatest ways to combat quote unquote racism or insensitivity or prejudice. It's like, you know what? You're saying to me, Mr. Stonewall Jackson fanboy, that this is not about hate, it's about heritage. Okay, well, let's embrace another great ATLian, another great Georgian, and let's embrace Outkast, who to me are one of the greatest musical acts to come out of Georgia, a state known for great musical acts. And I can't wait till we finally do synchronized schedules with Bill and Jamie, because Bill, as you know, on Mr. Throwback Thursday, had once counted Outkast as the most overrated rap group of all time. He has since recanted that statement. But, man, I think just from a musical standpoint, just in the context of hip-hop, you can't underplay Outkast's importance over the last 10, 15, 20 years, because the South pre-Outkast was snap music. The South pre-Outkast was Miami bass music. The South pre-Outkast was something where you weren't getting a lot of intellectual thought. You were getting a lot of musical thump. Like the music was hitting, the beat was hitting, but they weren't saying a whole lot. And I think one of the defining moments in Southern hip hop was when Andre 3000 was at that award show, and he's like, you know, he's in the midst of the quote unquote East Coast, West Coast rap war. And he's still on stage and said, you know, y'all think the South ain't got something to say? Well, we got something to say. And from that moment on, like, you knew Outkast wasn't playing. Like, their first record was, you know, it was good, but it wasn't anything mind-blowing. But then following up Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music, they followed that up with ATLians, which to me was one of the greatest hip-hop records start to finish I've ever heard. And then, you know, you're coming out with Stankonia. You're coming out with Aquemini. You know, you're coming out just coming out with album rap albums that push the boundaries of the genre, and that allowed the door to be open for other Southern acts like the Goody Mob, like Ludacris, like T.I., like Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys, and you know, your enjoyment of those type of groups or acts may vary, but I think that it would be silly to minimize the importance of Outkast on the state of hip hop, you know, over the last decade or so. And so getting back to this Stone Mountain thing, I think it'd be really cool. Like, I'm going to post the link to the petition and the link to this story from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which always struck me as a funny name. Like, I always want to say the Atlanta Constitution Journal, but it's not. It's the AJC, not the ACJ. And if I were more interested, I would look into the history and the etymology of that name, but I'm not. So, but I'm still going to post this story because just the illustration of these three Confederate icons, if you will, riding their horses in one way, and then all of a sudden, here comes Andre and Big Boy in the artist kind of rendition of how it would look in the Cadillac. It's so funny. It's just a great look, and I think encapsulizing Georgia, encapsulizing Atlanta, like, that's perfect. Like, you know, you've got the Southern history and you've got the future or the present, you know, and it's a cool visual. It's not going to happen, but it is a cool visual. So shout out to Mac Williams and the folks who are signing this petition. So that's one situation that may or may not be settled, but one situation that is definitely settled is the tenure of Colin Cowherd at ESPN. Yes, that Colin Cowherd. It has been announced that Colin Cowherd will be leaving ESPN. The network president, John Skipper, stated that Cowherd has been a great employee and it's been a mutually beneficial relationship. But Cowherd is no longer going to be at ESPN once this contract expires. And I could not be any happier. I make no secrets about the fact that I've never been a Colin Cowherd fan. I'm not saying that he is not skilled at what he does. It's just what he does is not my cup of tea when it comes to broadcasting. And this is something that I've made no secret of. Like, I know some people out there might be like, oh man, Nate, you just salty because, you know, he up there living large. He's doing what you want to do. But you have not made it to that level yet. And no. I don't begrudge anybody their success. if they're good. You know, even if they're bad, I don't really begrudge them their success because that's the way life is sometimes. But to me, the biggest slap in the face as a sports radio lifelong listener was to have someone like Tony Kornheiser be replaced by someone like Colin Cowherd, because Tony Kornheiser, to me, has always been, if not the gold standard, one of the gold standards in terms of melding smart and funny and topical with sports. And not, he had this great knack of, and he still has this great knack of, not dumbing down his show to the lowest common denominator, but it's also not so highbrow and I'm smarter than you that you feel inferior listening to the show. Whereas with Colin Cowherd, I think he has this whole persona, at least on radio, because Marcus has met him in real life and said he was a nice dude. But on radio, he comes across as extremely smarky and snarmy, but he's smarmy and snarky. That's the way you say it in English. Very condescending. If you don't agree with him, he's just like, I don't know why you don't agree with me. I mean, if you don't agree with me, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem. It's like, no, it's a Colin Cowherd problem, because as the broadcaster, your job is to be entertaining, to be informative. And, you know, some people like Colin Cowherd. I don't begrudge them that, but he has never been my cup of tea. And so I guess the rumors are that he's in talks with Fox Sports. Jamie Horowitz is a executive with Fox who previously worked as a producer on Cowherd's show, and I guess that'd be a good fit. So you get all the people that everybody hates, Joe Buck and Colin Cowherd, on one network. But man, I don't want to spend too much time stating my disdain for the type of show that Colin Cowherd does, because I think the positive is this opens up an opportunity. You know, we've already seen this year ESPN is doing more to change the type of shows that they allow the spotlight, that they allow these opportunities to. Bomani Jones, friend of the program, has a show on ESPN Radio now, which is not your standard boilerplate sports radio show. Scott Van Pelt, unfortunately, he's heading out the door, because I really thought Van Pelt's show, in the wake of Kornheiser and Patrick leaving ESPN, was maybe their best show. But you've also got shows out there, you know, like Dan Le Batard and George Sedano, Izzy Gutierrez. There's a lot of great, smart, funny content out there, and I hope that ESPN allows these guys a platform to shine, and these girls out there, because there's a lot of talented female broadcasters out there who aren't getting their due respect and opportunity as well. But it's funny, because I think, you know, you can be kind of condescending, kind of the I'm the smartest guy in the room guy, and still be likable. And I think that's a skill that Bomani Jones pulls off extremely well. Like, you can listen to him, and then, like, he'll insult you on the one hand, and then make you laugh on the other hand. And whereas with Cowherd, it just seems very mean-spirited and not as engaging as Bomani Jones, regardless of what the folks over at Mr. Throwback Thursday will tell you. They have I think their disdain for Bomani might equal or rival my disdain for Colin Cowherd. But anyway, man, it's life. I think that, you know, best of luck to you, Colin Cowherd. I think that some people might be shocked to hear me wish you luck, but I got to give Colin Cowherd props in one respect, and those that have been longtime listeners know why. And it's because if there were no Colin Cowherd, who knows if and when this show, The Kings of Sport, might have been put out and in what form. Because part of the impetus for this show was my frustration at the lack of diverse voices. And I don't just mean racially, but I mean, you know, age-wise. I mean in terms of their particular take on things. Because Jim Rome is great, but I don't want to hear 50 million Jim Romes on the radio trying to be Rome. There's only one Romy. Dan Patrick's great, but I don't need a bunch of Dan Patrick clones. Mike and Mike are great, but I don't need a bunch of Mike and Mike clones. I need fresh voices, and unfortunately, ESPN and to a lesser extent Fox and CBS Sports aren't giving us these fresh voices, at least not to the degree that I'd like to see. And so when I started the Kings of Sport podcast, I was like, you know what? Let me find some like-minded individuals, or even some individuals that may disagree with me, but I know they're intelligent and I know they're entertaining. And let me holler at these guys and see if we can do something different. And so I made the call to Marcus and he who shall not be named. And you know, we did the damn thing, you know, and going on 3 years later, we're still here. And so, you know, I appreciate everybody that has been riding with the show from day one. And I appreciate everybody who this might be their first show. You know, thank you for listening and come along with this ride. And you know, we hope that we're doing something different and entertaining and enjoyable for you guys out there. But in respect to Colin Cowherd, again, Mike, no hate. I don't hate you, sir. I just hate what you do and what you what you represent. But no ill will. Good luck if it's Fox or if it's satellite radio, wherever you go. But I can say that I'm glad that ESPN is finally thinning out the herd. Whoa. That was a long way to go for that zinger. But, hey, not everybody can be, you know, a Ronda Rousey-esque king or queen of comebacks. So that's going to do it for this show. We had a good time. Like I said, man, this was an interesting show. Not only was I flying the ship solo, but there was not a whole lot of content to talk about this week just because, again, we are in the dog days of the sports calendar. But that'll pick up here in the coming weeks. We're looking to talk to friend of the program, Mike Oz, and get his take on the baseball halfway point and looking towards the second half of the season. We're looking to do that here pretty soon. We're looking to talk to friend of the program, Bob France, a.k.a. Bobby Fresh, here in the near future. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll eventually get our schedules correct and be able to sit down and break bread with Bill and Jamie and discuss some Outkast and maybe some Bomani Jones. So if you want to keep up with the show, send us some feedback. Hit us up on Twitter, KOS_POD. CosPod on Twitter is where you can follow the show. You can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. And you can follow Marcus the Itis Man Vanderberg on Twitter at Marco Will at MARCOWILL. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/KingsSport, iTunes and Stitcher, like, rate, review the show, and podcastland.com. Don't forget this, folks. There is still time to vote for the July podcast of the month. And let me tell you, things, they are happening. Currently, we are in the top 5 in the comedy podcast. We're in the top 5 in the sports podcast. And we're still in the top 10 for all general podcasts. The only thing standing in our way, because I'm looking at the numbers right now, is Kevin Smith. He's got one of his Smodcast shows up there on Podcast Land, and I like Kevin Smith. I mean, I've always been down with Clerks and all that good stuff. But you know what? Kevin Smith does not need any more awards or accolades. Come on, man. Don't vote for the fat man. Vote for the black man. That's a terrible rhyme, and it's insulting to a director that I genuinely like, even though I didn't like Red State. I didn't like that movie, not one bit. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, vote for us, man. Don't vote for Jay and Silent Bob. Vote for Nate and Absent Marcus. I think that's that's how we're going to end this show this week. Again, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading, everybody. We definitely appreciate it, and we will be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. And if you didn't like this show, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of The Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
like I just left.
TRN Wrestling is the pro wrestling podcast that is tearing up the internet wrestling community. It's hosted by me, Nick Hausman, and it features some of Chicago's best comedians, musicians, magicians, and of course, pro wrestlers talking all things pro wrestling. You can find it almost daily over at TheRebellionNetwork.com or subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. TRN Wrestling, your Chicago voice for all things pro wrestling punditry.